Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If Mike Dunleavy or someone else in the front office asked you, you know, if you believe that Steph, Klay, and Draymond are capable of making another championship run, what would you tell them?
I would say I believe they can. These guys are all still really damn good players. So hopefully we can re-sign Klay. Draymond and Steph are both, under contract. So we're going to roll it back next year.
Could never see myself, not with those two guys. I understand this league changes and there's so many things that go into it and we're not going to play forever, but, we've experienced so much together. And at the end of the day, like, again, I know they want to win. I know I want to win. And that's all I worry. That's all I'm worried about.
All right, welcome to Brother from Another, everybody. Michael Smith out today, but our brother from down the hall, Vinny Goodwill, is here. And Vinny, you just heard Steph Curry and Steve Kerr. Well, sequentially, you just heard Steve Kerr and Steph Curry talking about their championship window. And if you listen to Steve Kerr, the championship window is still open. If you listen to Steph Curry, I understand what he has to say, this Vinny. They both have to say it. I just wonder, I don't know if any place, if there's any good place to hang out in Sacramento, like after the game. Okay, there you go. That answered my question right there. Okay, let's say on the way back to San Francisco from Sacramento, those 80 miles of highway, and you just have a little something you're sipping on and you're just talking freely. Media, these annoying media members are not around. And so you're just saying what you really feel. Do you think, Vinny Goodwill, that Steve Kerr and Steph Curry would say the same things privately that they said publicly last night?
No. I think they'd say the same things. It's just one of those parenthetical answers. He said, can the three of those guys win together? Sure, but what roles do those three guys have? Klay Thompson is no longer a high-level starter for a team with championship aspirations. He is a high-level bench player who can get hot in a pinch and give you 30 minutes and be a spot starter if you have real championship aspirations. Draymond Green is another case. That's an interesting guy. That's one of the most unique players in NBA history. So I think you kind of put him to the side a little bit because you look at his behavior. When you look at his behavior, if he doesn't, swing wildly, if he doesn't put Rudy Gobert in the million-dollar dream sleeper hold, the Warriors probably, and I hesitate when I say this. I think you understand when I say this. The Warriors are probably in a better spot than 46 wins. But usually teams go through peaks and valleys. And because the Warriors knew that they didn't have any measure of error to play with, they held one of the top seven records post-January 31st. But they knew going into that period that we got this ground to make up because of everything that's happened with Draymond. If they don't have that ground to make up, do they cruise a little bit more and then slip a little bit down the stretch? I think they were right where they needed to be. But I think this is a game like last night, Michael, was a great mirror. You ever know what it's like to have somebody put a mirror to your face and you don't like what you see? Woo. And I don't mean like a mirror on a wall. I mean a mirror, something that exposes all of your flaws, all of your faults, the fantasy of what you think
you are. You're getting deep on a Wednesday. It's too deep.
The reality.
I feel exposed. Hey. I feel exposed listening to you talk. Oh, man.
No, but as I wrap this up, last year there was the Draymond Green, Jordan Poole thing that hung over the franchise. Right. And everybody said, oh, it's a dark cloud. And once we get rid of that, and that wasn't a real Warriors year. This year, you don't have that thing that's hanging in the air. Like, yeah, you got some Kamingas and Trayce Jackson Davises and guys like that. But as far as championship level players, you don't have that. And these are the chickens coming home to roost from some of those drafts and some of those trades that have not worked in your favor. And you didn't have Steph who could carry you like it was 2022 again. It's over.
Yeah. Okay, there it is. You just said it. It's because I agree with you. It's over. It's over. And so, and I don't say that with celebration. It's just reality. I mean, these guys had a, I'm going to talk about them in the past tense. Because, Vinny, when I watch, I just go, just full disclosure. I did something after the show on Monday. My guy Jacob says, hey, do a little My Bets Your Money basketball version. Do a little basketball version of My Bets Your Money. I said, okay, all right. So Lakers, Pelicans, I picked the Lakers. Against anybody else, I say Pelicans, you win. But against the Lakers, you're going to lose to the Lakers. Okay, Lakers win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Warriors, Kings. I picked the Warriors. I'm like, one game? Just a one game? Sacramento may be better, but one game for the Warriors to advance, I'm going to pick the Warriors. And Vinny, I promise you, this is true. I was watching last night. At one point, the Warriors were up, 8-5. It was like first few minutes of the game, 5-3, 8-6, whatever it is. And even in that moment, 2 minutes into the game, I said, oh, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
I made a mistake. Yep. These dudes are slow afoot. What people don't remember, because Steph is so mesmerizing and they got the great nickname, the Splash Brothers, and all the offensive wizardry, what people sometimes don't remember who are not like paying close attention, defensively, the Warriors were tight. That's why I say the best team I've ever seen all around is either the 2017 or 2018 Warriors. It's not just KD on offense. Finals MVP, it's how tight they were defensively. They were an excellent defensive team. Last night, they looked old and slow of foot and just two steps behind, a second too late. And part of it is, you talk about Klay offensively. Klay defensively used to be really good. Not so much anymore.
Yeah.
It's over. It is done. And so what do you do? Since it's over, what do you do? Do you keep playing this game, massage, bring all the guys back together? Or you move on from Klay, who was 0-10 last night.
Yeah.
0-10 and doesn't want to be the bench guy that you say he can be. He doesn't want that. He doesn't see himself that way. What do you do, Vinny? You're the general manager. What do you do with these Warriors?
I mean, I come to Klay on July 1st, hat in hand, and I say, hey, look, this is the offer that we have for you. And if you feel like you are a caliber starter in the league somewhere else, it's not like a hard and cold thing, but the Warriors are capped out in a way that doesn't allow them to do things. Like, they're up against the first tax apron. You have Chris Paul's $30 million non-guaranteed team option that you can either pick up and use as a trade option, or you can let him walk and sort of get the cap relief to deal with. But
I wonder.
More old and slow. You know what I mean? More old and slow. Like I will say this. The more that people were celebrating online, like I was following the Twitterverse, after in the immediate aftermath of the game, waiting on the locker room to open and everything. Oh,
they were doing the
ding dong, the witch is dead. You know what that told me? Man, there were a lot of broken hearts and hurt feelings along the way. There were a lot of teams over the years of this decade, over parity, where you've had 5 NBA champions in the last 5 years, and you've had LeBron James change teams, not one, not two, not three, not four times. You know what I'm saying? Since these guys have gotten together, not since they started winning, but since they've gotten together, you don't see things like this that endures. And you've seen so many teams get together to try to beat that man. Not necessarily beat LeBron, but to beat that man. And they couldn't do it. And you can look at 2022 and say maybe ultimate anomaly. You could be right. You can say, man, this team has been the play-in more times than not over the past 4 or 5 years. Okay, fine, so be it. But 4 championships in an age where it's not supposed to happen, in an age of salary caps and luxury tax aprons, where basically the NBA has legislated that they didn't want the Warriors to outspend other teams because of their deep pockets. Yeah, you going to celebrate, but them hurt feelings going to remain. But I don't know what the Warriors will do from here because they're in such a tricky spot, Michael. Steph is getting older, and you don't know. Last night, he looked tired. He looked slow. I asked him about it, but he tried to say, hey, I could play Friday if I needed to. I feel fresh. I feel good. But you also have to figure out, if Steph is not your best player on the championship team, and I have my doubts about that, what type of player do you put next to him to make the best of the rest of Stephen Curry's career as profitable and as successful for you as possible? Because that player ain't on this roster.
Yeah, right. Not on the roster. And I'm glad you said what you did about dynasties not lasting this long. And it was really impressive what they did. I know it's 2 different versions. I mean, their last championship team, obviously, no KD. Their first championship team, no KD. And then KD in the middle with those two. And I think even their post-KD championship team, which I saw up close. You want to talk about hurt feelings. People in Boston still smarting over that. Hey, we were up. We were up in game 4. We had a lead with 5 minutes to play. And then Steph Curry went crazy. Went crazy. He really did. It was one of the great games.
Yes, he did.
In finals history. It was awesome. But I think that even that could work if you could go to the Fountain of Youth. Like the formula works. The problem is age. So
yeah.
Steph Curry, yeah. I think Steph Curry is in a ageless, he's kind of like in some hyperbaric chamber. Something's going on. He's like, he's Benjamin Button.
You think so?
Okay, he's good. I do.
You think so?
I do. I don't think I don't see the age showing up on Steph Curry. I don't. You see it?
Oh, yeah. I saw it. I think I saw it in the last month or so. Yeah. You look at it.
Is that
his numbers.
Age? Is that age or is that, is that the coach not necessarily deploying the roster the way the roster needs to be deployed, perhaps? Maybe is it relying too much on Steph?
Oh, but yeah, all those things point to age. All those things are code for age. The coach trying to save your body. You're not being able to overcome roster deficiencies. We've seen Steph do that. Earlier points in his career. We saw him do that 2 years ago. Remember that? His second best player was Andrew Wiggins, right?
Great year, though. All-star year for Wiggins that year. Great year.
Ish. Ish.
How you going to hate 2 years later? I understand hating now.
I was sober in that moment. But you know what I mean? And I think it's natural. I think, put it like this, LeBron James has turned what aging is into a different conversation. And that'll be a conversation. And that'll be a realistic conversation that we can have another day on, you know, somewhere else, right? But Steph is not 6'9", 250 pounds, and can mask the physical decline with other things. Steph's decline will come at a point where he can no longer dip into that reservoir of energy where he can wear you down with pace and with movement. Those legs only have so much in them. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you need someone to make the game easier for you. And right now, that player is not on this roster. Maybe it was supposed to be Chris Paul. But Chris Paul's 127 years old. What the hell? He's
supposed
to, you know, make 129. Something easier for somebody.
129, yeah, not even 127.
Yeah.
Hey, how is he supposed to be the guy? But let me ask this. Last thing I'll say about the Warriors, because look, the bottom line is it says something about their dynasty that if we just go with the facts, they're the tenth seed on the road playing the 9 seed, and they lost. Mm-hmm. and everybody's like, oh, what's going on? That doesn't happen with normal. They're not a normal 10 seed. There's nothing normal about them. Because when a 10 seed plays a 9 seed tonight in the Eastern Conference, y'all really ain't going to care. They may not care in the city. The city the game is played in, they may not care all that much. So the Warriors have something special that still, no matter where they are, whether they're the 10th seed, number one seed, number five, people are just drawn to them and what they're doing and their actions. I'll say one thing in their defense, because I was prepared to come on and I was going to say, you know, they really screwed up in 2020 when they had the second pick and they took James Wiseman. That's the wrong guy.
Yeah.
But then I went back and looked at the draft. Vinny. Anthony Edwards went first. They're supposed to take LaMelo? Who are they supposed to take? I'm looking at the list of players here. I guess they should have known, like 11 other teams didn't or 8 other teams didn't, that Tyrese Halliburton was going to be an all-star player, I guess. But Halliburton went 12th. So what should, you know, I think it's easy to say they should have done this. Well, they and a lot of other teams really looked at the draft and missed some of the gems that were there. And they were not obvious at the time. They're obvious now. Like Aaron Nesmith is a good player now, but it took him a few years to be a good player. I don't know if he would have helped him. Like, what's Tyrese Maxey? who went at number 23 or number 21?
I mean, here's what it is. It's not about the pick you made. It's about being insistent on holding on to it. It's about not maybe getting proper value for it. Like, this isn't 82, where the Lakers come off a championship and they draft James Worthy. You know what I'm saying? Number one. They got the choice between James Worthy and Dominique Wilkins. Like, you talked about different iterations of championship teams. That's the only way championship teams endure in professional sports. The team in your backyard, the New England Patriots, and I know football is totally different, but each of those championship teams, especially during that, 10-year gap where they didn't win anything, or 9-year gap, it was for those teams to remake itself. And each championship team has its own heartbeat, has its own rhythm, has its own character, has its own identity. And so in 2020, they had the chance to, you know what? Maybe we're not going to do it with a young guy. We're not going to take James Wiseman just because he's here. Let's figure out if we can go into the marketplace and get something. But because they were trying to, you know, granted, it's a pandemic. You just opened that building. You weren't sure what the world was going to look like. So you were looking for cost effectiveness. But sometimes when you're trying to win, man, you ain't winning in the balance sheets. You ain't winning with the nerds.
Oh, that's right.
You winning with dudes. Go get a dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That truer words have not been spoken, not just about basketball, but about industry, really. Sometimes you want to get to the top. It's not always the most cost-effective way won't get you there. You're going to have to push some chips in there to really get to where you're trying to go. Now, you mentioned this guy earlier, because we'll be paying attention to the Warriors. This will not be our last Warriors conversation the summer. But you mentioned another guy. You mentioned LeBron James and how at almost 40 years old, the guy is playing at an all-NBA level when he's out there. Now, I don't know how you view it when you're putting together your all-NBA team. Do you look at it and say, okay, I'm going to go with the most talented guy, even if he played fewer games than somebody who's less talented, but hey, they've been out there for 70. They played 78 games. I can't give it to this guy when he's there. He's great, but production is a part or availability is a part of my vote. I don't know.
Right.
But LeBron James and the LA Lakers advance to take on the Denver Nuggets. And I wouldn't say they look great. They did what they had to do. They had an 18-point lead at one point, Vinny. Zion Williamson was giving them the business, but not enough because down the stretch, he tightened up. He had to leave the game. I look at the Lakers. Look, I give them credit for securing the 7 seed, and I give LeBron credit for the way he has kept himself in fantastic shape and playing at a high level. Beyond that, I don't know if this story has more chapters in it this summer. What do you think?
We've seen how this movie ends, right?
This spring, right? Yeah.
We've seen how this movie ends, and you hear? Do you hear that sound, Michael? It's a horn blowing. It's a beep going. It's a limo outside of Anthony Davis's house. Nikola Jokic, compliments of Nikola Jokic. You know what happens when they send a limo for you?
Why?
You know what happens when they send a limo for you? Make sure you get your ass to the arena on time. I'm wearing you out. That's what that is. Nikola Jokic is sending a limo for Anthony Davis. And it is amazing. And I say this with all due respect. Anthony Davis was second on my all defensive ballot. He might be the most versatile. Every point on the floor, he feels comfortable and adept defender we have in the game. He may never win a defensive player of the year, but that doesn't matter to me. But he is that adept on every point of the floor and can do nothing with Nikola Jokic, right? Not even at the rim because he gets bullied. Not even at the three-point line because Nikola Jokic doesn't get bothered by length 25 feet from the basket. And as long as that matchup goes Nikola Jokic's way, as long as he is upright and healthy and reasonable help, right? Not all-star help because he's never had all-star help, but just reasonable help in Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. when he's away from podcast mics and, you know, other vices. You know what I mean?
Right.
As long as those things are there, Lakers going home. They get a game. Maybe they get a game.
I was going to say, do they go home in the way they went home last year where they kind of hang around a little bit, then Denver would say, that's enough. Hang around.
Oh, the most competitive sweep we've ever seen in NBA history?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Competitive sweep. Is it a sweep or is it just like control? They win it in six, but they control it the entire time. You know, win the first two, lose game three, 2-1, win game four. They're up 3-1. Then they lose a game. Then they go ahead and finish it off. Okay, six. We were never really threatened. They'd get a game when they're on the verge of elimination, but we'll take them out. Is there any way that the Lakers win the series? Now, I don't see it, but give me a scenario where they pull this thing out and they advance to the second round, knock out the champs.
Someone kidnaps Nikola Jokic. Like someone steals his powers, like Space Jam. You know what I mean? Like that to me is the only way. Maybe there's some type of catastrophic injury and maybe that does happen, but it is not something I want to predict. That's not something I want to forecast or anything like that. That's a bit weird. But with these two teams, look, 9 straight games, the Denver Nuggets have beaten the Lakers. Like that's a large enough sample size for me to say that one team is better than the other. And you know what that looks like to me? Michael Holly, you know what that looks like to me? Now, I'm a little bit younger than you, but I watched cartoons.
A couple years.
I watched cartoons. Yeah, just a couple years. Like, there was, like, some iteation of Scooby-Doo where they had a character named Scrappy-Doo. And Scrappy-Doo was a little more, you know, a little more feisty than Scooby. Yeah. But he was, like, a tenth of the size. Yeah. But all you had to do to Scrappy was just put your hand on top of his head. He couldn't punch you. He couldn't swing at you. It was like,
let me get out of. Yeah. Just in place. Okay, calm down.
That's the Lakers to the Nuggets. And the crazy thing is this. If the Lakers played the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round, I might be tempted to pick the Lakers. I think that might be a pick 'em series.
Wow.
Oklahoma City's a little more, shall we say, light in the ass. You know what I mean? And big wins in the playoffs. You know, get your mind out the gutter. You know what I mean? Like big and thick dudes win in the playoffs. Oklahoma City skinny. You know what I mean? And inexperienced.
Big, thick, and old. How about big, thick, old dudes? I thought you were going to say they're too young. Does that bother you? OKC, average age, 24?
No, because
they usually don't win.
Right. But here's the thing. Young teams usually don't win because young teams do young things. They turn the ball over. They have lapses on defense. They play immaturely. Oklahoma City is like some young – oh, they're like some old souls. You know what I mean? Like, they don't look like it. Like, you've seen how Shai Gilgeous-Alexander dresses. You know what I mean? But they act and behave like they walk around listening to the Isley Brothers all day. You know what I mean? Like, they play like old ass men. They right. don't turn the ball over. They don't treat defense like it's a chore. They're just skinny. So if that's your only problem, and then you're going to go up against New Orleans or Sacramento, I don't think they're going to have much of a problem with them in round one. Now, the big and thick Lakers, it would have been a problem.
Yeah. Well, with the Lakers, now I want to go back to something you said, because I agree with you on Anthony Davis. And yeah, Jokic has sent the limo. Not only has he sent the limo, it's like it's loaded. The driver's like, hey, go back to you want some champagne. We got all kinds of snacks back here, whatever. Like, and as a matter of fact, you want something made to order? I actually got a chef over here in the corner who can make something up for you. Okay, I got you. I'm going to take care of you. I agree. It's a great matchup for Jokic. But I was watching Jokic. I watch him against all the big time games and national games when guys actually show up to play in these national games. I haven't seen anybody really handle him well. Maybe Embiid. Maybe. Like, who's a good matchup for Nikola Jokic?
Oh, I have the perfect defender for him. I got the perfect defender.
You let's ready? Hear it. I want to hear it. Okay, here we go. Let's break some news today.
I'm ready.
Yep.
A perfect defender for Nikola Jokic. A gentleman by the name of Hakeem Duncan.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
You got to build this. You got to build this Joker in the lab. You know what I mean? In order to defend this guy in his prime, because nobody has an answer for him. And it's weird because we've had people who could, shall you say, maybe slow up Shaq a little bit, make Shaq think sometimes. You know what I mean? Like the Kimbe Mutombo would have a matchup every now and again, and then Shaq would put his elbow in Deke's mouth and, go on about their day. Kobe Bryant
He really did.
He literally, in his grill. Like, Kobe Bryant had dudes that would give him trouble. Some dudes actually gave him fits. You know, Michael Jordan had dudes
Bruce Bowen. Remember, he hated playing against
Kobe Stopper. And the Kobe stopper, Mr. Reuben Patterson, which was kind of a joke. But, even Jordan hit those guys. But there is nobody walking the earth that can defend Nikola Jokic. And it's not from an athletic standpoint.
He's just too big. It's just too much to account for. And Vinny, I watched him because a lot of people think the Celtics are, the favorites. And, they led the league in victories. I watched their second game. So second time they played Denver, out in Denver. Mm-hmm. And so, Porzingis is there. And then after like a few minutes, I'm like, oh, no. Porzingis has length? Oh, he ain't got nothing. He got nothing for Jokic. And they put Al Horford on him a little bit. Horford could, have some, not doesn't have the length, but the, defensive principles. You know who really did the best job on him? Xavier Tillman. Okay. I mean, I don't know what to do. That's not going to be an event. Nobody gets a check mark there. Jokic versus anybody, nobody gets a check mark. I know Draymond tried last year, a couple years ago.
But you know what it is? If you compare Nikola Jokic not to basketball players, but to old-time heavyweight boxers, right? Like George Foreman, not the George Foreman of the George Foreman grill, but the George Foreman that was chopping people down. He takes your legs. Like if you're big and strong and all that, maybe Dwight Howard in Dwight Howard's prime, because Dwight was like, there was a physical strength to him and there was a almost like a girth to him to some degree, where Dwight could be able to handle, being able to have Jokic put him under the rim. But Jokic, as a boxer, he's one of those dudes that he's going to keep chopping you and chopping you. Next thing you know, it's round eight, and them legs is spaghetti. You got nothing left. And because Jokic doesn't have, like, the Adonis body and the diet and everything else, he's just going to keep kicking it how he's kicking it. You're going to wear down before he wears down. It's a physical battle. It's a mental battle. And that's why, I hate to say it, Boston, if Boston makes it to the finals, and I don't think that's necessarily one of those things – that is a foregone conclusion. But if Boston makes it to the finals,
like that.
There's a limo. There's a limo with two people's names in it because there's room for two in the limo. For Porzingis, you can bring your skinny ass.
I was going to say skinny.
You can bring your skinny ass.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. You can bring everybody along. With Boston, that the bulk in the middle, they don't have necessarily bulk. They have length, but it doesn't really matter with Jokic. All right, but that being said, what do you like about, not necessarily the matchup, Lakers-Nuggets matchup, what do you like about the Lakers, if anything? Is it LeBron? Is it D'Angelo Russell? Is it the reemergence of Anthony Davis? Because we know his skills, but for a while we just couldn't see him. He was so absent that we just kind of forgot how dominant he could be. What is it about the Lakers that you like as you look at them now?
Well, I am a left-handed streaky shooter back when I played. You know what I mean? Back when even limbos was getting sent for me back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, people were sending limbos to me every now and again, and I had to go and eat that 40, right? But D'Angelo Russell, I think he's one of those guys that is so maligned because of what he's not. He's so maligned because, you know, maybe you take advantage of him defensively. But he makes that thing go from a shooting standpoint. When you think about what the Lakers are trying to be, they don't take a lot of threes. But when D'Angelo Russell gets hot, it adds a dimension to them. It frees up space for Anthony Davis inside. It frees up space for LeBron to not have to see the extra help side defender when he's barreling down a lane. Because LeBron, I'll tell you this, I don't know if you saw this last night. Man, LeBron looked old at points yesterday. He looked, I won't say slow at times, but he looked like he didn't have the burst and the explosion.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
That's the 82-game season. You know what I mean? Getting to him, he's 39 years old.
Man.
He's going to be 40.
It's the hairline.
It's the hairline.
That's all. Well, it's the stuff. It's the stuff up top. I'm such an expert at this, Vinny. I could just tell. I should go on tour, and just
would you tell him to come home? Would you tell him to let it go?
That's right. And meet with groups of men who are holding on. I'm going to meet with him because I see it and they're doing this little thing, man, because the young dudes got a lot of resources now and it looks good. I'm jealous of them.
Yeah, they do.
Even like the young dudes who are getting that, they get the cut and then they get the little dye in front.
They get the Beijing.
Oh, it's tight. And you might get a little razor on them, get a little razor, make it a little tighter. Woo! It's good. But these old dudes out
there. That Steve Harvey lineup that we all thought was real.
Don't get Cat Williams started. Don't get Cat Williams started on that one. We thought that was it. It was a wig. Anyway.
It was a wig.
But the old dudes, Vinny, need to let it go. I see them all across America. They need to let it go. So LeBron is one of them. Doc Rivers. I saw Doc Rivers doing an interview. Doc, stop it. stop. They get a little bit on the side. There's a little bit of content on the side, a little bit of content.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then up top, they don't understand how powerful these 4K cameras are these days out here. They don't understand how powerful the camera. It looks ridiculous. It's just a little bit of stubble up there.
With Doc is he has
and
a
they try to color
line.
It.
He has a hairline with no hair.
It doesn't matter. Okay, you're done. You're done. Unless you go, you can get some filler. You gonna fill it in. If you're not gonna fill it in, you got a hairline here, and then you just got open space in the middle. I mean, that sounds good. If you live in a major city, you need some space surrounded by the city. But no. When it's your hair and it's like this, any point on the top of your head, you know what it's time to do? Say goodbye. Trust me. That's when you know.
Well, luckily.
It was a good run. You're not there.
Luckily.
You're good.
God willing. You know, anything can happen. Like genetics. Genetics are a tricky thing. It can be a late arrival. That train could be late.
Well, let me ask you.
Okay.
Hey, what does Pop still go to the barbershop? Pop still got everything up top? Pop strong?
Ooh. Nah.
Nah.
But
that's a respectful son. A respectful son just says, nah.
But no,
he does not.
I've done these things. I have studied these things, right? Because there was a point in my mid-20s where I thought my hairline was doing a slow fadeaway, like an MJ fadeaway. I thought it.
Yeah.
But you know what I did?
Post up.
I went to the Google. And the Google says you get your hair from your mother's father.
Your mother's father. All right. So your grandfather's hair, how would we describe that? Maternal
like
grandfather.
Mine.
Okay,
like mine.
Listen, you're good. Hey, you're good.
And
you're
good. Hey, listen. And he had hair. He had a full head until the second bout of cancer. You know what I mean? Like even the first bout didn't take it out. He had it. You know, lived. You know, died in the early 80s. Died in his early 80s. You know what I mean? And by that time, it was gone. But look, I have maternal cousins who have lost the battle. So it's not an exact science, but that's an answer that works for me and my constitution. Because when I look at my daddy's side, ooh, baby. Mm-mm.
And listen. There's nothing to fear. If that's your story, I can tell you there's nothing to fear. There's a good life.
You got to have the shape of head to do it, though. You know what I mean? Like, you've got the shape. You got, like, a little peanut head. You know what I mean? Like, you could do that. Like, is it acceptable now? Like, have we reached a point? I'm not saying I would do it, but have we reached a point? Is it acceptable for a man who's losing the battle to get an early jump on the enhancements, on the fiction? Would women do things to, you know, look a little different?
Yes, it's fine. Equal, it's a new day. Equal, if you want to do that, I'm saying if you want to do that, go ahead and do it. See, I'm not telling LeBron and Doc, you want to do the Steve Harvey. Can you imagine LeBron with the Steve Harvey wig or Doc
hilarious.
With it? That would be great.
Hilarious.
You want to go ahead and do that? Go ahead. Go for it. But don't be here in the middle. Don't be here indecisive. Either go for that or come on home. All right. Speaking of coming home, let's take a break. We already mentioned Doc. On the other side, I want to talk about Doc and the most dismissed, overlooked 3 seed in recent memory. With the Milwaukee Bucks, we talk about them like they're a 10 seed. Now, there's something going on with Milwaukee. There's an elephant in the room that we will discuss. And I just want to talk about that. I want to talk about the absence of said elephant. And I want to talk about legacy. I know legacy is a little too early, but something like that. Legacy is not the right word, but Maybe perspective.
Reputation. Reputation is the word.
Yes. Has it shifted? Has your perspective on this player shifted? We'll talk about that one, brother, from another. Returns.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
We'll get this hair thing right. All right, Vinny, I mentioned that there's a number three seed that we're talking about as if they barely squeaked into the playoffs. And I know the Milwaukee Bucks had their issues during the season. And as they had their issues, we talked about them despite what their record was. So this is a team, Vinny, that fired its coach, even though they were near the top of the Eastern Conference. They fired Adrian Griffin. And we're like, the Bucks have issues. Yeah, they do, but look at their record. After the All-Star break, they start to win some games, and then they have some meltdowns. They lack consistency. The Bucks have issues, but yeah, look at that record. And they still have Giannis. And then, speaking of Giannis against the Celtics just kind of goes down in a game that they were winning easily. Just goes down, is helped off the floor. Sure did look like the Achilles. It looked like a season-ending injury. And according, and I say this very carefully, according to the Bucks, Giannis dodged a major injury, yet he's not available. They're not planning for him to be available at the beginning of this series. Now, you said you've seen this movie before in different contexts. I've seen this movie before, Vinny, when it comes to Doc Rivers and an injured star. Doc is, if he hadn't become an NBA player, if you are in sales, Doc Rivers would have been the salesman of the year. He would be the top salesman in your company. Yes, he would. I'm sorry. You're great at what you do, but Doc would be better. He would convince you that something exists, even though it doesn't exist. He's excellent at it, Vinny. You've seen it up close. The man knows how to work a room. The man knows how to deliver a message. And you're like, oh, yeah, it sounds good. Then you go back and think about it and go, what? What did he say? But that don't make no sense. Okay. They did the same thing. Kevin Garnett in 2009 got hurt in Utah for the Celtics. Got hurt. Just changed their season. They were on a championship path again. They were trying to repeat. And, you know, hey, listen, it's an injury, but, you know, KG may be available for the playoffs. They played the Bulls that year in the first round. Mm-hmm. KG was there in a suit, just talking trash to Ben Gordon the entire time. Did not step on the floor in the first round. They won that series. Did not step on the floor in the second round. And then after the season was over, they eventually come around and acknowledge that KG had a major injury that wasn't going to have him see any parts of the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying that's the story for Giannis, but I saw what happened. I saw that. We all saw it. It looked like a major injury. Can Giannis come back and play? I guess he could. Is it smart for him to come back and play? If you're the Bucks, is it smart to put your franchise player, almost 30 years old, out there, who's had some calf strains, if you want to call them that, some calf strains throughout the season? I think that's I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. And it just makes me wonder, A, about the injury, and then B, if Giannis is not there, and this is really what I want to get at, if Giannis is not there and the Bucks lose the series, which I think they will, do you look at Giannis any differently than you did in 2021 when he was on the top of the NBA world after winning the championship and being the MVP?
I'm going to start there. I'm going to say no. I don't think I look at him that differently, because once you're a made man, you're a made man. I don't back off of that. I don't look at it and say the next 3 years having validated one of the single greatest finals performances we've ever seen. And mind you, he was hurt in that series too. He had hurt himself in the conference finals against Atlanta that cost him some games, and nobody was sure that he was going to be ready for game one. He was ready for game two. The Bucks lost that. They lost game two. And then he authored four of the most physically dominating, inspiring, emotional performances we've ever seen in the NBA finals, much less recent history. So no, and believe it or not, since that time, since 2021, the Bucks have won a grand total of one playoff series. So it's not just Damian Lillard or Mike Budenholzer or Jrue Holiday. It's been everybody, including Giannis Antetokounmpo. But you don't take that away from him. Now, what I will say is, because of the style in which Giannis plays, because he's so forceful, because he's so end-to-end, have we seen the best of him? Is there not another level for him to go to from a physical standpoint, right? And if that's the case, can you win with him being very, very short decline? Like not going one day and, you know, and then the next day you're Allen Iverson in a Memphis Grizzlies uniform. I'm not saying that. But if you're expecting him to be at his absolute best for four playoff rounds, is that a feasible championship strategy? I have my questions about that. But it doesn't mean that he still can't be the best player. It still doesn't mean, like giving my Isley brothers analogy, it still doesn't mean that he can't reach those Ronald Isley's high of the high notes when it's necessary.
I just got to tell you. After the show, I don't want to interrupt your flow. After the show, I'm putting on two things. Two references you've made today are gonna change my viewing and listening habits post-show. One, I'm going back to Scooby-Doo, because I never really appreciated Scrappy. I think the show got worse. They introduced Scrappy. I'm like, okay, we're done. I don't need Scrappy in the show. I like Scooby. I don't need Scrappy. So I'm going back to classic Scooby-Doo. And then I'm going to put on some Isley Brothers, because I could just see it. I could just hear that Ronald high note. Now look on his face. Ronald got a hat on. He got the sunglasses, and he's just singing. Maybe got a walking stick as he's doing it. Ooh. Yes, I love it. Keep going.
Now, you talk about Doc Rivers being a great salesman. I think Doc would be a great political strategist, because he'd only confirm everything that you said to him. Doc, it looks like your team has been playing right. He's right. I don't know. Like, he doesn't say that you're wrong. He confirms what you say, and then he diverts the conversation somewhere else. Like, he should literally be standing on the White House with the White House seal behind him, answering questions from the press, because you will feel yet both so validated and similarly, parallelly, like, what did he just say?
Yeah, right. You'll go to your notes.
That's a gift.
You'll transcribe it. It is. You'll go to and by the way, he'll say it and he'll know your name too. Hey, Vinny. That's a good point. Hey, Lisa, that's right. Absolutely. Hey, Michael, that's good to see you again. Hey, how's everything? How's the family? Hey, last time I saw you, you were doing that thing. You ever buy that car? You buy that house? Okay. and you got the whole thing going, and then you go to your transcript, and you're like, what? He ain't say a damn thing. So I think, what is he going to say? What is he going to say, and what will we say about him? All right, Giannis, a fair point about Giannis. Man to man. Did that thing in game 6, 50 points in game 6. You can't take it away from him. But Doc, it's been a long time. He didn't win a championship in 2021. He last won a championship 16 years ago. And
a lot of dust on
take
that.
Over,
a lot of dust. Take over. A lot of dust on them banners.
Yeah, that's right. Take over the Bucks, and they lose in the first round. What are we saying about Doc? What's the story
it's
about
not
Doc
his fault.
And the
That's
Bucks?
The crazy thing. It's not you his fault.
As, we going to say that?
No, we're not going to say that. We're not going to say that because it's very easy to blame, 3-1 Doc. You know what happens when Doc gets a 3-1 lead? He's going to blow it. This is the year that more – I won't say more than any. This is the year more than maybe even the Orlando year where you had the 8th-seeded Orlando Magic and they had a 3-1 lead against the Detroit Pistons in a series that they never should have won to begin with. People are going to say the Milwaukee Bucks had a 31-15 record with Adrian Griffin, and they fired him anyway. If they fire you when you're 31-15, the alarms are blaring. They don't just fire you because they don't like you in the middle. They might fire you after the season if they don't like you. But they don't fire you in the middle of the season for just any old reason. If you're 31-15, that means the locker room is telling you something that you cannot ignore. And then if you bring in Doc Rivers and you wind up having a tougher schedule, the injuries hit, your personnel becomes more exposed. Think about this. They have no speed on the perimeter defensively. You talked about the Warriors being old, and it looked like the Warriors were running in sand yesterday. Like there's a fine line between a team being experienced one year and then old the very next year. I promise you, I've seen it so many times. Damian Lillard is not a defensive guy. Patrick Beverley is, but he's old. Chris Middleton is older and getting there. Like, you don't look at their personnel. Malik Beasley, he's not a defensive stopper. You don't look at their personnel on the front line and say, this is a guy that can keep someone in front of him for a beat and a half. All a beat and a half is to wait until the help gets there. You get into rotation, you catch up. They can't even do that. And to me, that's not a Doc Rivers fault or flaw in his matrix. But he's going to catch hell because he's Doc Rivers.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think the Milwaukee Bucks, this is a bad matchup for them. If you don't play defense, then you're taking on the Pacers. And you got a little age on you. And you're taking on the Pacers who like to run all over the place and score. And are elite. Yeah. One of the elite scoring teams in the NBA. I think it's a pretty poor matchup for them. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucks go down in six. With or without Giannis, I really don't love the matchup for them in this series. Now, I see, before we get you out of here, I just want to address some of the shade that you have and some of the things, because I read your messages. I read between the lines with Vinny, and Vinny's always saying something beyond the obvious. So,
okay. What did I do? What did I do?
So I'm just like, so tell me about the 76ers, this little feed item you have. Am I afraid of the 76ers? We got tonight. We got Heat. We got Sixers in Philly, Heat culture taking on the re-energized Sixers with Embiid. I think they won 8 straight with Embiid. And the winner takes on the Knicks. I think the Knicks should be afraid, especially if Philly wins this thing. And the loser is probably going to play the Celtics. So based on your feed item, are you saying, am I afraid of the Sixers in round one? Because you think they're going to lose this game and then eventually play the Celtics as 8 seed, or just afraid of the Sixers in the East, period?
Both. Like, you know, Boston people get a little chesty. They get a little haughty. They look at the advanced numbers. They look at the wins. Yep. They say, championship tradition and the Boston Garden and blah, 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 and all that other stuff.
Very arrogant, right? Arrogant? There's some arrogance there.
Very arrogant. Yeah. Very, very arrogant. Very arrogant. Like,
holier than thou.
What I will say is, I'm almost 40 years old. Since I've been born, the Celtics have won a grand total of 2 NBA titles. Right? 2. Uno, dos. But they act like they don't want 12, right? They haven't. But I say that to say,
Hey, listen, let me do the Boston thing for you. That would be 17. That would be 17, Vinny. And this season is about banner 18. Okay. Go ahead. Continue. Go ahead.
They've been about Banner 18 for a long time. They've been about Banner 18 since 2008, right? But what I'm asking is, because the Celtics seem like they got an easy road to the finals. The West is a gauntlet. The East is like, the East is something different, right? It's breaking right for the Celtics, unless Joel Embiid breaks his playoff futility, right? Where, you know, his numbers do the demon drop in the postseason because the officiating gets tougher. He can't trick the officials and all that stuff. And you've seen it in the series against the Celtics. You know, sometimes he gets hurt. Sometimes he's not there. Sometimes he doesn't show up for game seven. But he's a fresher player now.
Ooh,
and the 76ers don't employ James Harden anymore. So I'm asking you if I can treat you and approach you like a hostile witness, Mr. Holly. Are the Celtics afraid of a potentially healthy Joel Embiid? I don't think they should be. I don't think anybody should be afraid of
Philadelphia 76ers. But respect, I think you got to put more respect on Philly. This year, you got to put more respect on Philly this year than you have in the past, because I know, look, you can look at them. Oh, they sunk to a play-in level without Embiid, but I think they developed some good habits without Embiid. Like they can't, we know who they are. They can't survive. They can't threaten you without Joel Embiid. Now put Embiid with those guys who are out there playing, put Embiid with Maxey and like even some of their role players. I mean, Kelly Oubre did a really good job for them. Nick Nurse has figured out what works for them. I think they are as big a threat now as they have ever been in the last 5 or 6 years. I respect them much more now than I did with the James Harden Sixers, the Ben Simmons Sixers. I just didn't believe in them, but yeah, I think they're a formidable opponent, even for the Celtics, who embarrassed them last year in Game 7 after the Sixers had a 3-2 lead. These Sixers get a 3-2 lead. Now you start to get nervous. You start to get real nervous.
Really?
3-2 lead with the game at home, yes. Now, afraid is too strong. I do not fear them, but I do respect them. Now, since I've given you an honest answer, I'm wondering if you can give me an honest answer before you have to go.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up. That can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics. Because that's who we are.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Of course.
You're talking about Boston people. So in Boston, where did you stand? Because we can figure this out. You can get the truth from you now, or we can go back and look at your tweets and look at your social media activity to see where you really stood. When you heard about Deflategate with the Patriots and people calling Belichick Belichick and Spygate with the Patriots, where did you stand when the Patriots were rule breakers? What was your thought on that? Breaking the rules.
Spygate was a little different. I wasn't really tripping too much because the 2007 Patriots team, that looked like one of the three or four best football teams I've ever seen in my life. And I didn't think that there was anything that was really going to aid with that. Deflategate, I never understood the whole thing. He's the, like, he's taking football. Like, I'm not that smart. You know what I mean? I don't know what PSI means and all this other type of stuff.
Oh, it's crazy.
Like, I know what a basketball is to imply. Like, I thought it was, he was spiking the ball hard to take air from it and all this other stuff. Hey, man, that's above my pay grade. So, okay, so where are you, right, where are you headed with this? You can treat me like a hostile witness, because I feel like you're walking me down a path.
I am walking you down a path, and you know what? You gave a better answer than I thought you would, because I thought you were going to – see, and the way it unfolded in my mind, you were going to just rail about these cheaters. Then I was going to come back and be like, oh, you feel so strongly, you feel some kind of way about cheaters. How about your boys, Michigan? You know they're on probation now. We just heard from the NCAA, the University of Michigan is now on probation for all the cheat, and they're not done yet. They're not done. So right now, we have some restrictions. The NCAA is watching them, but there's more penalties and more decisions to put out from the NCAA. And you know, Jim Harbaugh, who left town, who left you in Ann Arbor. You guys all supported him. He's a Michigan man. The Michigan man went out west. The Michigan man said, go west, young man. Now he's in L.A. And once he's in L.A., they ask him about these penalties. Like, I had no idea. Oh, I didn't know they were. We just found out on Tuesday. What? I didn't know. How do you feel about your cheating, Michigan Wolverines, cheating their way to a national championship? How do you feel about it?
The irony that, you know, right, I know you can't see your screen right now because you probably can't see your monitor, but right in the center of your chest is a big block M, and that's just perfectly placed. It's perfectly placed. And I don't have, you can go home to Elizabeth after this, right? You can go home to Elizabeth after this.
Oh.
But do you still? I don't have the scoreboard with me, but good. I will tell you the score.
I love
I'll
that.
Tell you the score. 117-74. The score of the last three Michigan Ohio State meetings. And the irony of an Ohio State fan to come on a high horse and talk about Michigan, considering Ohio State's transgressions, both reported and unreported, investigated and assumed over the past X amount of years. Remember Gordon G, the dude with the bow tie, talking about Jim Tressel? I hope Jim Tressel doesn't fire me. Remember that?
Hey,
don't have a moral leg to stand on, L to stand on. The L's.
But that's okay. We take the L. We take the L. All I'm saying to you is, Ohio State has never claimed to have a moral high ground. Michigan is the, you want to look at all the rankings? You want to go by the rankings? Academically, it is fantastic. Michigan Business School, Michigan Law School, very stringent acceptance rate, all that stuff. Great. Yeah, Michigan is all about academics. Ohio State's not. Ohio State doesn't claim to be. That's why the president says, I hope my football coach doesn't fire me. That makes him pathetic, but also honest. So, look, Ohio State does cheat. We know it. Y'all act like you don't cheat, but you do. Anyway, Vinny, good to see you. All right, that's a good answer. You had a good answer. I'll give you credit. I thought you were going to – I wanted you to take the whole, oh, these cheaters should be disciplined, but you didn't do that. So, I respect
it. Not only am I a Michigan fan, but I'm a Detroiter. I can see things coming before they come.
All right. Uh-huh. And who you got tonight, real quick? Who you got tonight? Philly or Miami? You got Miami?
Miami.
What? Oh, okay.
It's
I guess I should have asked that
happens?
Earlier.
You know what happens? It's the playoffs, baby.
Okay. We'll see. Good to see you, Vinny.
You too, brother.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.